Well, good morning. Our text today is John chapter 21. It's on page 769 in your pew Bibles, if you follow along there. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, or the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. Well, he said, "Well, then throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards. Now when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now this time Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him yet a third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Well, God's grace and peace from Jesus our risen Lord. There's a story of Mickey Mantle on a day when he struck out 3 times. And after the game, he was sitting by his locker with his head down in his hands. And Yogi Berra, the catcher, had a little boy named Timmy. And Timmy went up to Mickey Mantle and he tapped him on the knee. And Mickey looked up and Timmy said, "You stink." Such a consoling young man. There are times we feel awful when we have done something wrong. You know, another time I remember between 8th and 9th grade, I grew 6 inches. Oh, my bones just ached. But by 9th grade, I was the tallest kid in junior high. And in my school, we went from 7th through 9th. So being the tallest guy in school, naturally, I decided I'd go out for basketball. I hadn't gone out earlier, but now I'm the tallest kid. Well, because I had never practiced with a team, didn't know any of the plays, I didn't make the team. I didn't even make the bench. And nobody had to tell me I stunk. That's what I thought about myself. How can I be the tallest kid in school and not make the basketball team? Well, sometimes we just feel like we stink. We are aware of our shortcomings. And today's gospel has Peter reminiscing about those days when he fell short. And so our lesson opens with seven of the disciples gathered in Galilee. And the reason they gathered in Galilee is the gospel said earlier, Jesus had told them after the resurrection, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Now our text just simply says afterward. And it's referring after Jesus had appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and then the next week he'd appeared to Thomas. And after these things, you know, it could have been a couple days, it could have been a couple weeks, we don't know. The text just simply says, sometime later, Jesus appears to them when they're out on the Sea of Galilee. And it had been a hard time. And Peter, being our impetuous one, instead of just waiting and twiddling his thumbs, says, okay, if I'm going to be sitting here by the Sea of Galilee, I might as well do what I do best, and that's fish. So he says, all right, guys, I'm going fishing. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm going fishing. And so they said, oh, we'll come along with you. So all seven of the disciples went out in the boat, and we're told they fished all night long. And by the end of the night, they were empty-handed. They didn't have anything. And then here is this stranger on the beach that at first they didn't know who it was. And he, you know, calls out, hey, have you caught anything? No, haven't caught anything. Well, throw the nets on the other side. See if you catch something. Good Lord. All right, we might as well try it. Nothing else has worked. And all of a sudden, here is this great catch of fish. And you had to wonder how Peter must have been feeling right at that moment. He had failed as a disciple. He had denied knowing Jesus three times. He hid for fear of the Jews in the upper room. He went now to go to Galilee to do the one thing he knew how to do with fish, and he hadn't caught a single fish all night long. And he went back to Galilee where, you know, this was his fishing hole. He knew all the right places to find the fish, and still he couldn't catch anything until some stranger on the shore says, throw it out on the right side and you'll catch something. You know, when we took the group to Israel, part of it is to take a little boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. And of course, one of the things they do is the fisherman, here's what the nets then look like, and he throws it out on the left side. And everybody on the boat, you know, together says, throw it on the right. And of course, for us, we did not catch any fish. But it worked for Jesus. He knew what he was doing. So again, here is Peter who has gone to Galilee. He's been a failure. He's feeling a failure. Now he can't even fish right. Some stranger's got to tell him what he's got to do. He must have felt like, I stink. I can't do even the things I'm supposed to be able to do well. I can't even do those well. Well, it's at about this time that Jesus then, or John, recognizes that it's Jesus. And it's John who tells Peter, Peter, that's Jesus on the shore. Well, Peter, we're told, had stripped down to work on the boat, so he put on his outer clothing and he just jumped right into the water. About 100 yards, he did the 100-yard dash, swimming as fast as he could to get to see Jesus on the shore there. And the rest of them were trying to haul in this huge catch of 153 fish. A lot of commentaries of why 153? Is there some meaning behind that? Well, we don't know. All we know, it was a heck of a lot of fish. And they were pulling it to shore with them. And then the other thing that really strikes me of this text, I don't know if, is when they got to shore and Jesus was there with already had bread and fish on a grill, the text says, and none of them dared ask, who are you? Because they knew it was Jesus. Well, obviously, the way it's stated said some of them must have not been sure it was Jesus because none of them dared ask, who is this? And that's one of the things about after Jesus rose from the dead, that Mary Magdalene didn't recognize who he was at first when he was at the garden tomb with her, and the disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize Jesus when he walked with them. So evidently his resurrected body was changed just enough that they weren't sure all the time who it was. And so here the stranger is with them. He's told them to cast their nets on the right side. A miraculous catch happens, but it's when they sit down and they break bread with him, and Jesus hands them the bread. And as soon as you hear that, you think, Holy Communion. Yeah, it's in the breaking of bread and Holy Communion that often our eyes are made aware of the very presence of Jesus in our midst. And so that's what happens here on the shore. The breaking of bread and fish, the eating now they do. No, this isn't just an apparition. This isn't just somebody that maybe looks like Jesus. This is Jesus, and they know it for sure. And in the breaking of bread, and that's such an important part of this text, because ghosts don't eat bread and fish. If it's just an apparition, if it's just an image, then you could say, you were just seeing things. You know, it's like people when Notre Dame was burning down. I don't know if anybody else saw the picture of it looked like Jesus in the midst of the fire. Anybody else see that picture? Am I the only? Okay, I thought maybe I'm the only one. But there was in the flames, and when they showed it looked like Jesus in long robes right in the midst of the fire of Notre Dame. And it was weird. It was like, whoa, yeah. Well, by eating, this isn't just some apparition where you think it's Jesus. It's a real body, because ghosts can't eat bread and fish. And so John kind of closes this out by saying we know it's Jesus raised because he ate the bread and the fish with him. It's not some ghost that they thought might be Jesus. But then the final part of our text occurs, and it's that encounter with Peter and Jesus. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And really, these are the last words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John. And often it's the last words that we speak that really tell us what's important. You know, before you die, before you leave, you want to say whatever's most important. And really, he tells us what our mission statement is. So three different times, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, that's the most important question we need to answer if we're going to be God's people in the world. Because if we're going to be in mission, the most important thing we need to do is love Jesus. So Jesus asks us, do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Why do you love him? If you love him, why do you love him? Has he forgiven you the way he forgave Peter, who felt like he stunk, who felt like he knew he had denied Jesus? He had failed as a disciple, and yet Jesus comes to him and forgives him and restores him. And that's the beautiful thing about a relationship with Jesus. No matter who we are or how we have failed along the way, he is there to restore us. So part of the reason why we should answer, yes, I love Jesus, is because how he has related to us in forgiveness. Because we make mistakes. We just do. And it doesn't stop after high school either. You know, I think, you know, there have been times as a pastor when I told somebody, oh, Pastor, I'm having surgery at 2 in the morning, or 2 o'clock, or 6 in the morning on Tuesday. And I say, I'll be there. And all of a sudden at 9 o'clock in the morning, I go, uh-oh, where was I supposed to be this morning? Shoot. Or I can remember one time asking somebody to head up a big project, and they said yes, and then I forgot I'd asked them, and then I asked somebody else to head up the same project. I stink. You feel so bad when you do those things. We make mistakes. But we live with a God who forgives us for the mistakes we make, whatever they may be. And that's the beauty of our relationship with Jesus, because we make mistakes. Sometimes we say things we wish we could take back. Sometimes we act out of anger and then we regret it. And sometimes people won't forgive us, but God always does. So when Jesus asks us that question, do you love me? Has he forgiven you? Has he loved you unconditionally? Have you known his love? That's why we can say yes. And all mission starts there. All mission and purpose in life starts with knowing you're loved by God and loving Jesus because of what he's done. And then on top of it, the cherry on top is to say, and not only do I love you now, but I'm going to take you to paradise with me. I'm going to live with you in eternity. So we don't only get to know his love now, we don't only live right now with his forgiveness, but we live with the hope and the promise of eternal life. So do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you, Peter says. And hopefully all of us will answer the same way. Do you love Jesus? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you know why you love him? Because he loved you first. Because he's shown you grace and love now. Because he's promised you a future where the sufferings of this world won't compare to the glories that he has in store for you. So hopefully we can answer the same way Peter does. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And it's once we live in that relationship of love, then Jesus responds to us the way he did with Peter, then feed my sheep. Mission is to care for other people in the world. And so we feed our sheep when either children or grandchildren, and you read them bedtime Bible stories, or you pray with them, or you share your faith story with them. When you do that, that's feeding Jesus' sheep. Or when you're a Sunday school teacher, and when the kids go out and you share those stories in Sunday school, that's feeding my sheep. Or when you look at all the pictures of the kids out there in the narthex that are sponsored by Compassion International, and those kids all are brought into Christian communities where they're both physically and spiritually cared for. And when we sponsor those children, that's feeding my sheep, or feeding my lambs, as Jesus says. Or when you go in through Kairos and you visit a prison and hardened criminals with tattoos all over all of a sudden are in tears because for the first time they feel God's love in their life. That's feeding my sheep. And so what is the mission of the church? But to first answer that question, do you love me? To know why you love Jesus. And then, once you answer that question, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, so often we focus on our shortcomings and we're reminded. We either sometimes remind ourselves or others tell us we're no good. Lord, help us to listen to your voice, the voice of the shepherd who knows his sheep and loves us, the voice of the one who sacrificed his life for us. Lord, help us listen to you. Fill us with your love, because we can only be your disciples if you fill us with love and forgiveness and grace and hope. So we ask, Lord, right now in this place at this time, fill our hearts with your love. Cast out all negative thoughts. Cast out all those hard words that we have heard from others and from ourselves. And fill us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.